Welcome to the PEPPEN podcast on major themes in physical education research. This is episode 89 and explores chapter 2 of Daniel Memmott's book, Teaching Tactical Creativity in Sport, Research and Practice. This week I'm delighted to welcome Mel Hamada as the practitioner responder. Mel has recorded her own response, so the voice you will hear is hers. I thank Mel for her considered words and for taking the time to respond. Being divergent. Creativity doesn't thrive in an environment of convergent thinking and needs us to look outwards and not just inwards. School, it seems, prepares us to assemble the facts and bring them together to find a solution. In other words, it requires us to take information from different sources and bring them together to find a defined answer. This is what we would call good research and allows us to get at the right, albeit predetermined, response and works well when answering exam questions. It isn't rote learning, but is a puzzle with an answer. The problem is, though, that such convergent thinking allows for reliability and consistency, but it doesn't allow for the productive, original, shaping, artistic, artful, inventive, innovative, imaginative, enterprising, fanciful, groundbreaking, or trend-setting solutions we talked about last week. To be creative, we need a different approach. What we need instead, at least in the first instance, is divergent thinking. Divergent thinking is creative thinking. It is creative elaboration, think embellishment or expansion, of ideas prompted by a stimulus. In the case of the original conceptualization of divergent thinking, i.e. the initial study where participants were engaged in open-ended tasks where they were asked to think of alternative uses of objects such as a barrel, a paperclip, a brick, boot polish and a blanket. See the blog for a link to Ken Robinson's exploration of divergent thinking. Such thinking forced them to look outside of convention and divert from established ways of thinking. In other words, to be divergent. That is not to say that convergent thinking and divergent thinking aren't related. Memmott argues, when we are faced with a problem, we need to find solutions, divergent thinking, before we choose one of the options, convergent thinking. In this way, we, as thinkers and problem solvers, use a range of cognitive processes such as cognitive flexibility, focus and defocus of attention, the new combination of stored content, or the evaluation of the feasibility and practicability of an idea. It isn't important, for the purpose of this blog at least, to be able to understand all of these processes, but it is important to acknowledge the limitations of only thinking convergently. Modern science has found that analytical thinking and creative thinking occur in different hemispheres of the brain, although for many tasks we need to use both hemispheres and both ways of thinking. As such, by expanding the ways in which we ask young people to think, we are challenging them to use different parts of their brain to help them out. We are stretching them and asking them to step outside of established thinking and find new solutions. Such solutions may be fanciful and unrealistic, but wasn't the same once said about flight or electricity. Memmott focuses on the work of Robert J. Steinberg and argues that in his integrative model, there are four levels that we need to consider when we talk about creativity. Interacting resources such as intelligence, knowledge, intellectual style, personality, motivation and environment. Domain-specific creativity abilities, a portfolio of creativity projects and assessments of creativity projects. While Memmott doesn't explore Sternberg's model in any depth and doesn't explain levels 2, 3 and 4, he does argue that the six resources are subject to a complex interrelation and that they are interdependent with regards to the generation of domain-specific creative solutions in a given task. While it is hard to understand the specific impact that Sternberg's model might have in sport and physical education, and in support of Memmott he does indicate that he has developed a sport-specific model that he will discuss in Chapter 4, it is clear that creativity is a complex, interrelated process that should be given special attention in our work. That said, creativity is not one thing. While it is easy, well at least easier, to come to a single answer through convergent thinking, it is much harder to come to a consensus of opinion when divergent thinking is involved. After all, how many possible uses of a paperclip or a brick are there? Creativity is defined as a stochastic, combinational process, which, in short, means it is randomly determined. It is, in the words of Memmott, characterized by unsystematic drifting, that is chaotic, and this allows for the emergence of loosely connected associations. It is ill-defined and comes without any prior notion of the outcome. This is a massive step change from the organized drills and practices that dominate sport and physical education. It is also, according to research in computer modeling, not always conducive to constant or even improved performance. Sometimes creative thinking promotes sustained improvement, but at other times it can promote continuous deterioration as well as down-up, initial deterioration followed by improvement, and up-down, fluctuation processes. While it might seem daunting, especially given the global drive for improved standards, that our work as teachers or coaches might lead to deterioration in performance, don't we see this all the time in the real world? Expressions like, "you're only as good as your last game," "a slump in form," or "a steady decline," show that this is a regular occurrence in sport and often occurs when sportsmen and women cannot replicate previous form of success. That doesn't mean they give up, but it does mean that they need to find new ways of doing things. Perhaps they've been found out, or in trying to develop a new trick have lost some of their old form. Limited research in education, none of it in physical education, shows that well-designed creativity interventions can indeed foster divergent thinking in a number of different domains. In doing so, preschool students have been shown to increase not only their verbal creativity, fluency, flexibility, originality, and their graphic creativity, elaboration, fluency, originality, but also their behaviour and traits of the children's creative personality. What would happen if the same ideas were applied to sport and physical education? In seeking well-designed creativity interventions, what could we do for the young people in our care? So in thinking about how we might consider this blog, I leave you with a task and a few questions. How many uses can you make out of a paperclip? Have a go and try. Now you have done this or considered this, how could you create a task for your students to do this paperclip task? How would you support them? Do you promote this type of thinking in your lessons sessions? If so, how? If not, how could you do this? Pick a lesson and see if you could change the way you structured learning to promote divergent thinking. Do you think learning would be strengthened, or not, and why? Practitioner Response by Mel Hamada.
Physical education has a multitude of functions, roles, and expectations in today's education system to have a positive effect on student learning. I believe that it is important to decide, based on the needs of your student learners, the role or function of PE courses at your school for all grade levels. There are always outside influences such as exams, curriculum needs, space, timetable, etc. But with what you have, what are the needs of your learners? This will help you to know what units, activities, and concepts you are going to teach and how you are going to teach them. The philosophy at my current school in our PE department is that we want to embed in our students a love affair with movement and to understand that they need to be involved and to start wherever they are and to then move forwards. We are not building elite athletes and we are not about winning at all costs. However, not all students are in the same place when they arrive in your classroom. It is important that we as teachers create activities that test out our students and allow them to shine not just athletically, but also to create problems for them to solve that allow them to learn from these interactions, failures, motivation and perseverance in new situations. I am not an expert in creative thinking in the PE environment, but on reflection I can see that some of my activities do create opportunities for divergent thinking. Students are given problems that need to be solved, or questions that don't have a prescribed answer that allow the students to think or to try out their ideas and then reflect on how things went. An example would be in our Invasion Games unit, where small teams of 3 to 4 students are working to get the ball from one end line to the other past 2 or 3 defenders, with the teacher offering no rules or suggestions on how they should do this. It is interesting to see the students work through the process of no rules or skill drills, only that they need to creatively get to the end. And any which way is fine, as long as the ball is over the end line. There are so many ways to do this, and by changing the space, time allowed, ball or equipment used, you can really ensure that they have to think pretty hard about how to achieve their goal. My students are very involved in TGFU and Game Sense in our Invasion units. This is very creative, with different gameplay opportunities to learn about specific tactical plays, and then the chance to play lots of games and practice their problem solving as they transfer their ideas into new games. I also find if you differentiate the play, for example, Mary can have the ball for 3 seconds and have 1 step, but Billy has 5 seconds and as many steps as he likes. This challenges students at their own levels, and the creativity for how teams utilize their different students and rules is endless. And the idea that they need to create new plays with what each other can do creates more involvement for my students. A discussion about fairness has been an eye-opening experience for my students as they start to realize that the teams were not fair when the rules were the same for everyone. Actually, this was unfair. It is very satisfying to have the students self-select rules for themselves and offer suggestions to others as part of their feedback loop. They come up with some very unexpected ideas. I find watching professional sport is so exciting when the players are not going with the expected play. When I watch the New Zealand rugby team, I can see lots of creative movement and plays that are executed out of unexpected situations. This is so exciting to watch. But to get to this level, these players have amazing skills, fitness, teamwork, etc. And I do think that for us as practitioners to get our students to be more creative, often relies on losing something else from our lessons, such as time for more skills or drills or fitness or gameplay. I do find it hard to balance the movement and activity against the problem solving and possible inactivity when it comes to the discussion and reflection and planning and creation of these activities. It is this balance that takes up a lot of my planning and anxiety to get things right, to create meaningful activities that will promote athleticism and a greater understanding of movement. But underlying all of this are non-physical PE concepts, such as leadership, communication, and creative thinking. And this is the true learning that I'm hoping my students will take away. Thank you, Dr. Ashley, for making me think hard about creative thinking, divergent and convergent, and to consider how these are defined within the context of my own PE classroom.
So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, to your experiences? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week for the next Pepin podcast, while I'll explore the third chapter of Daniel Memmott's book. Acknowledgements. I'd like to thank Mel for her contribution and for taking the time to reflect on this blog. I would also like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this podcast and getting it out on time and in a semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. This is an audio version of the Pepin blog that can be found at www.peprn.com. Thank you.